Hi, good morning, Calvary City Church, and blessed Sunday to every single one of you that is joining via YouTube or via Facebook this morning. And we are so glad that you can join us this morning for our online Sunday service. And hope all of you are doing well since JB have actually moved on into this second phase of lockdown. You can see your friends more, you can see your colleagues more in your company. And we as a church, we can't wait to actually see all of you physically coming back to the house of God to worship together. And I definitely look forward for that day. Amen, church? You know, if you have been fooling us for the past few months, you will understand and you will know that we are actually in this series of the book of Acts. And yesterday, Brother Chris Yap actually shared a powerful message on Acts chapter 21. And today, I'll be sharing on Acts chapter 22. And before I actually move on to the Word of God, I'm extremely excited today because today is not just the day that I can share the Word of God with you, but today is also my first year wedding anniversary. So to Joyce that's watching online right now, happy wedding anniversary, darling. I love you so much. And you mean the world to me. Anyway, church, I hope you're ready for the Word of God. If you're ready for the Word of God, why don't you bring out your Bibles? Why don't you bring out your notebooks? And I entitle my message today, There is Power in Testimonies. There is power in testimonies. How many of you love to hear testimonies? You know, I, for one, I love to hear testimonies. That's why in my discipleship class with the youth and also in our youth service that's happening on Friday, you know, we always start off with sharing of testimonies. We always start off with sharing of what the Lord has done for us or done to us in our life, you know, throughout the week. And we believe that as we share our testimonies, we believe as we talk about our testimonies, we are actually releasing an atmosphere of faith into the room. To all those that are listening, to all those that are present, we are actually releasing an atmosphere of faith. And it's all and in church, it's always a good time to hear testimonies. Am I right? It's always a good time here to hear testimonies. In fact, you won't hear somebody say, hey, today is a bad time to hear testimonies, lah. Today I'm not in a good mood to actually hear testimonies. You know, you won't hear anyone saying that it's a bad time to hear testimonies. In fact, every day is a good day, is a good time to hear testimonies. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling discouraged, when you're going through a rough time, and when you hear testimonies of what the Lord has been doing to you and doing to those around you, you feel like there is hope once again. You pick yourself back up to hope and to believe once again. You know, or even if you are having a good day, you know, all things are going well in your life. And when you hear testimonies, you know, it's like honey to your soul. It's like honey to your soul. That's why it's always a joy to hear testimonies. It's always a good time to hear testimonies. And the reason why it's a joy to hear testimonies is because it is the very evidence of God moving and coming through for us in our lives. Whether it may be in healing, whether it may be in a miracle that you have been praying for, or whether it's in a breakthrough that you have been contending for, or whether is it a financial provision that you have been asking for. You know, when you hear testimonies, it's always, always a joy. And in fact, I always say this to the youth and also to the boys in my discipleship class, that there is no such thing as big or small testimonies, church. There is no such thing as big or small testimonies. Every story, every testimony, it is a divine intervention of the Lord in your life, working on behalf of you, working on behalf for you as well. And until you share your story to another person, you will only understand the significance of how much weight it carries. You know, you don't have to go through a huge thing to be able to share your story. Even the smallest thing, for example, the Lord came through for me in my exams. The Lord came through for me in my work. You know, even the smallest things, you know, every testimony, big or small, is a divine intervention of the Lord in our lives. And when we share our stories to one another, when we share our stories to our fellow brethren and to those who do not know Jesus, then only we will understand the significance of the testimonies. There is power in testimonies, church. There is power in testimonies. When you share your testimonies, you are actually releasing the power of the Holy Spirit into the atmosphere to ask the Lord to do it again. Everybody say, do it again. To do it again. Because the book of Revelation says this. The book of Revelation says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The word testimony in the Hebrew word actually derives from the root word that means do it again. So when we share our testimonies, when we share our stories of what Jesus has done in our life, we're actually releasing the reality of heaven on earth. That God, you will do it again. Testimonies are so important because it doesn't just bring glory to God when we share what happened. Because it's not just a story. Testimonies reveals the nature and the heart of the Lord for His people on what He's willing to do for His people. And every time when we share that testimony, it creates an opportunity for God to do it again to whoever that hears and believes. The Word of God says this in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And look at verse 8. This is powerful. "Therefore," it starts off with this, "therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony." Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. So therefore, knowing that the power of the Holy Spirit resides within us, within you and I, when we share our testimonies and give God the glory to others, we're actually activating the realm of faith in the atmosphere. Come on, church. Somebody say amen. We're actually activating the realm of faith. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." When we share our stories, when we share what the Lord has done in our life, we're actually sowing seeds. We're actually speaking life. We're sowing seeds of life. We're sowing seeds of faith into the life of others. And the Word of God says, those who love it will eat its fruit. It simply means that those who believe in it will start seeing the goodness and the faithfulness of God being manifested in their life. Wow, come on, church. Somebody say amen. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome, church? And as we jump into today's context, in Acts chapter 22, we see that actually Paul was actually being persecuted by an angry mob and was then saved by the soldiers after that. But rather to be quiet about it, he asked permission from the Roman soldiers to speak to the crowd because he wants to share his story. He wants to share his testimony. Let's jump into the Word of God very quickly. And let's see how did Paul manage to share his testimony and his story even in the face of challenges and persecution. Now let's read the last part of Acts 21 before we move on to Acts chapter 22 to give you a background story of what happened. Now, would you turn with me to Acts chapter 21, verse 30 to 32. Verse 30 to 32. And it says, "And all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple. And immediately the doors were shut. Now as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul." Now, very quickly, let's jump to verse 37 and verse 37 to 39 first, all right? Then it says, "Then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, 'May I speak to you?' He replied, 'Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a rebellion and led the 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness?' But Paul said, 'I am a Jew from Tarsus,
in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I implore you, permit me to speak to the people. So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people. Now let's hold on for a minute. Now let's hold on for a minute and let's look at Paul's request. Because if we put ourselves in the shoes of Paul and try to understand where Paul is coming from, I'm telling you, I can't comprehend. I can't comprehend what request he's actually asking. He's asking from the soldiers. Because if I was Paul, if I put myself into the shoes of Paul and think, if I was Paul and was beaten up by an angry mob because I was sharing the gospel, I was persecuted by an angry mob, but then I was saved by the Roman soldiers, you know, the first thing in my mind wouldn't be to ask permission from the Roman soldiers so that I can speak to the angry mob. That wouldn't be the first thing in my mind. The first thing in my mind, I'll be probably thanking God for saving me, thanking God for rescuing me. But who in the right state of mind, after being saved from persecution, after being saved from almost being killed, this is what the Bible says, they were planning to kill Paul, but almost being killed, and Paul decided, you know what? I'm going to ask permission from the Roman soldier so that I can speak to them. I want to speak to them. And we would have thought, hey, I'm not going to do that. You know, if you put yourself in Paul's position, you're probably thinking, there's no way I'm going to do that. I'm probably thanking God on my knees, being grateful to God that I just got saved. But that wasn't the case for Paul. Paul asked permission so that he could address the crowd, the very crowd that was attacking him. And of course, as we continue reading on, granted that permission, he started sharing his story. Paul started sharing his testimony. You know, he started off by telling the Jews of his past. He started off by telling him that you and I were actually not that different. Let's look at the Word of God. Let's read Acts chapter 22, verse 1 to 5. Acts chapter 22, verse 1 to 5, it says, brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. This is Paul pleading, okay? And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God and also, as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest bears with me witness in all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Paul was actually explaining to the crowd he and the Jews aren't that different. He is a Jew. And more than a Jew, he's actually a Pharisee. A Pharisee that believed and obeyed strictly to the laws of Moses. He persecuted all who were being no respecter of the laws of Moses. And he said he persecuted both men and women. So Paul wasn't a respecter of men. He imprisoned both men and women. He murders both men and women. All right? So as we continue to hear this story, we know that this is not a glorious story. This is not some story that you want to share as a testimony. But Paul was trying to tell them his real story. Everybody say real. His real story. This is indeed what actually happened to him. And he was sharing his real story, even though it wasn't glorious. Even though it wasn't a powerful turnover of how he used to be a great, great man of God. No. It was a terrible, terrible story. A man that persecuted people. A man that murdered people. And after that, he continues saying that the high priests are his witnesses. So therefore, we know that when Paul was sharing his story,
We know that he wasn't just creating a story to relate to the crowd, to relate to the Jews. He was telling a story that was credible and is reliable. Because there are witnesses. The high priest is his witnesses. And as he shares about his past to relate to the Jews that were there, he then explains how Jesus came into his life and turned his life around. Paul started sharing his testimony. Now let's look at Acts chapter 22, verse 6 to 16. All right, I'm going to go very fast because there are probably like 10 verses here. All right. So now it happened. As I journeyed and came in near Damascus, this is Paul explaining to the Jews of the story of what actually happened to him. He's telling them his testimony. As he journeyed and came near to Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" So I answered, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said to me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Arise and go into Damascus, and there will be told all things which are appointed for you to do.' And since I could not see for the glory of that light being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that same hour, I look up to him. Then he said, 'The God of our fathers,'" church, take note of this verse, all right? "'The God of our fathers has chosen you.'" Everybody say chosen you. "'Chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." That was Paul's testimony of his conversion. How he used to have such an ugly past, a crazy past where he kills people simply because people didn't follow the law. He murders and imprisons both men and women. But yet, how Jesus came into his life and turned things around. From that day onwards, Paul's life turned around so massively that he knew that all this while, he was actually at the wrong side of the law. Now, knowing that God has chosen him, right? Knowing that God has chosen him to know his will and to be witness to all men, he decided to live his life for Jesus. And this is why he's sharing his testimony to all the Jews that were there. Even those they were persecuting him, even those they were beating him up, even those they were planning to kill him, he still stood by and said, "I am still going to share the gospel. I am still going to share my story. I am still going to share my testimony to you, even in the face of persecution." Isn't that amazing, church? When I think about the story of Paul, I just felt like, man, Paul is such an inspiration, he's such a role model. He's so amazing because Paul knew what was most important. He knew what was most important, even to the point to give up his own life. For the gospel's sake, he's willing to do it. That's why in his own words, he said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, this is his words, okay, these are Paul's words. He said, "But none of these things moved me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." For the sake of the gospel, he's willing to risk his life. Even his life doesn't matter anymore. He's willing to share the gospel no matter what it costs, to the Jews and also to the Gentiles, so that all who hear the gospel will be saved, so that all who hear the gospel, their lives will turn around. So here's my question for you, church. Are we willing to take risks for God? Are we willing to take risks for God, just like Paul? And I believe this is a big question. You know, because, I mean, definitely, I'm not asking you to give up your life, but there are times where you have to give up and sacrifice the thing that means most to you. Some of you, I'm not sure who am I speaking to, but some of you probably you have to let down your egos and your pride so that you would step out from your house to talk to your neighbor, to invite your neighbor to cell group, or to share your story or share your testimony to that one person that every single one of your friends and your colleagues look down upon, rejects upon. Probably God is asking you to share your testimony so that one person will get that one touch from the Lord. Because sometimes stepping out in faith also means stepping out in risk. Faith is trusting Him even in the unknown. We can't see faith, neither can we touch faith. But we can have faith by taking risks with Jesus in our lives. So what are some of the areas, church, that you think that the Lord is asking you to take risks in this season? What are some of the areas that the Lord wants you to step out from your comfort zone, to step into faith, to step into risk in this season? Could it be that the Lord is asking you to share your story, your testimony to your working colleague that's probably sitting beside you? Could it be that the Lord is asking you to reach out to that one friend that probably you have lost contact many years ago, but you somehow still have a heart for this person? Or probably a person that everyone dislikes, everyone rejects. What about that person? Is God calling you to reach out to that particular person? Or it could not, probably it's not just a friend. It could be a family member as well. It could be a relative. Or what if God is asking you to invite your neighbor for cell group, sharing the gospel to your friend that you have known for probably 11 years? I don't know. But what is the Lord asking you to step out from so that you would take risks in this season to see your story being an impact to those around you, to your circle of influence, and to our community? Because I believe just like Paul, every single one of us need that one touch from God. We need that one touch from God so that our lives can turn around. And after, when we give our lives to Jesus, that one touch of God acts as a mark of His love towards us. His love towards us. And I believe that every single one of us should ask for that one touch of God for our friends, for our family, for our relatives, for all those that do not know Jesus in our circle of influence, in our community. Every single day, we need a touch from the Lord. Not just that one time, church. After being a believer, after we get our lives turned around, it's not over, church. Yes, you get that one touch from the Lord and your life turn around, but it's not over. When you are in a relationship with Jesus every single day, would you ask the Lord, "Lord, can I just have one touch from you? Just one touch from you, because I want to be in this consistent, committed communion with you, Lord." That's my heart. That's my prayer as a believer, that I every single day I want to have a consistent, committed communion with you. This is why in John chapter 15, verse 5, John chapter 15, verse 5, it says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." We need the Lord. We can't do anything without the Lord. So therefore, after when we believe in Jesus, after our life turn around, after we have received our one touch, it's not enough, church. It's not enough. We need to consistently Ask the Lord every single day, Lord, would you continue to let me have a fresh encounter with you today? As your mercies are renewed every morning, as your strength for my life is renewed every morning, so shall your communion with me be renewed every morning, that I may have an encounter with you every single morning, every single day of my life, that none of the days of my life I will go without an encounter. I will go without communion with you. Let this be our prayer, church. Let this be our prayer. I believe that every believer has a story to tell, because all of us have been saved and set free from a life of sin and death. And now we can boldly declare our new life in Christ Jesus. We don't need to be a pastor, a theologian, or even a good salesman to share our testimony. Church, can I say this? Because many a times, you know, we have a misconception when we want to share our testimony. We want to organize our words properly. You want to make sure that you use the right words, you know, this and that. Church, your testimony and your story is not a product. Your testimony and your story is not a product. It's not something for you to sell. You don't have to sell your story, because Jesus has sacrificed on the cross and He has demonstrated His love, and therefore there is power in His story. And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives within you. When you share your story, there is power. There is power. Jesus has already done it. And all you have to do is to be bold and start sharing your story. Start sharing your testimonies that all those that need to hear that today. Some of us today, probably we are sitting here, we might even think that, but Pastor, my story not very impactful, eh? You know, I've heard this before. I'm not even kidding, I've heard this before. My story not very dramatic, lah, you know. I was born a Christian, I was raised a Christian, you know, then after that I accept Jesus, you know. There's nothing exciting about my story. But here's the thing, church, you don't have to be in death row to be able to share your story. You don't have to have an ugly past that you used to be a drug addict, or you used to be a prostitute, to be able to share your story. You don't have to have a dramatic story to share your testimony. Because you know why? The most dramatic story that was ever created on this earth was when Jesus displayed His love for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. You want a dramatic story? That is your dramatic story. You want an exciting story? That will be your exciting story. We don't have to think that, oh, I need an exciting story so that it carries more weight. So when I share, you know, it will bring more impact. No, when you start sharing the testimony of Jesus, when you start sharing what Jesus has done in your life, when you start sharing the good news of Jesus, let me tell you something. That will be the most exciting story. That will be the most dramatic story that anyone and everyone can ever hear. That is why it's called the good news. Ah, I'm excited. That's why it's called the good news. The good news is called the good news for a reason. It's good. It's so good. So exciting. So dramatic. But not just a story. It's a reality. And this is why every single one of us, we need to share our story to one another. We need to share our testimony. We don't have to be profound to be powerful. The testimonies of what Jesus has done for you, even in the most simplest thing, carries the supernatural power of the Lord. There is nothing to prove on our part. Jesus has proved it all on the cross for us. And all we have to do is take up that assignment, take up the message of Jesus, and share it to every single one of our friends and every single one of our neighbors, so that they would know what the Lord has done for us in our lives. Paul knew that even though they were trying to kill him, even in the face of persecution where it almost cost his life, he still chose to share the gospel to them. He still chose to share his testimony to them.
Paul was clear of his purpose and his direction that he will be a preacher of the good news to the Jews and Gentiles. And this just ties us back to our theme this year. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Someone somewhere out there has taken the step of obedience, has taken the step to risk, to share their testimony with you. That's why you and I are here today. You and I are believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe as well, there is someone out there right now is waiting to hear your story so that the same thing that happened to you can happen to them as well. I really strongly believe this. In Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." Everybody say me. Point to yourself and say me. "The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound." I pray today, church, may this mandate of God be our heart cry. Be our heart cry for our family, for our friends, and also for this generation. Amen. Come on, church, all of us, just close our eyes right now. I'm done for today's service. Can we just pray? Can we ask God for this burden to share the gospel, to share our testimony? Can we ask God that for faith and to step out in faith and step out in risk to share His testimony, to share the testimony that Jesus done in our life? Can we pray? Father, I just thank You for Your awesome, awesome, tangible presence that is here right now in this service. And I pray for all those that are watching right now via Facebook, via YouTube. Lord, You will speak to them. You will touch them, God. You will give them a fresh encounter wherever they are. And that You will give them a burden and a passion. A burden and passion to share their story once again. To share their testimony to those around them, in their workplace, in their neighborhood, and in their community, Lord. Father, we pray that this week, God, throughout the entire week, You will just remind us, You will just remind us, God, the importance of sharing our testimony, because somebody, someone out there is waiting to hear our story so that they can experience You and give their life to You and proclaim that You are their Lord and Savior. So I pray for every single one that is tuning in right now. I pray, Lord Father, give them the boldness. Help them to step out, to take risks for You, Lord Father, to share the gospel, to share their testimony. Bless them, Father. In Jesus' most precious name we ask and we pray, and the church of God say amen.